Good morning.
Good morning.
I wasn't here last week, and you know, I sure miss you all, my brothers and sisters. Wow. You know, I've been in Hebrews lately, developing Bible studies, adult Bible studies, and you know, it is a fascinating book. There's so much there. And one of the themes that runs from basically chapter 5 through 10 is about how Jesus is a greater high priest than the Levitical priests were. And, you know, we think of him all the time as a savior, redeemer, messiah, and king. And you don't hear a lot about this. In fact, in the New Testament, it's really in the book of Hebrews that it brings this out. But it just made me think about how deep the atonement is, the reason we're here right now to think about his body and blood and what he did for us. And it's so simple that you can explain it to a child, that human beings in their sin separated from God, and God made a way for them to come back. But it's also so deep. There's so many things there. It's really interesting. So I wanted to share some with you. So the Mosaic Law, of course, you know, we're Christians. We read the New Testament, that's our book, but you can't really understand it unless you read the Old Testament, because God spent a lot of trouble, you know, pointing to the reality with the shadows and the types, and he pointed to the reality. And one of the things that was pointing to Christ and his atonement was the Levitical priesthood and what they did and the sacrifices. And we learned through them that without blood there is no forgiveness of sins. And the Jewish high priest would have to offer a sacrifice for himself and then for the people. And we saw through all that how serious sin is and what it means and how God was showing us we had to deal with it. So 1 Timothy 2 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all." So he's the mediator. In the Old Testament, the mediator between God and man was the high priest. But way back in Zechariah 6:13 speaks of how the Messiah will be both a king and a high priest. It says, "It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two." So he's a king and a priest, and that kind of confused the Jewish leadership sometimes. I thought there might be two messiahs. But Psalm 110 says, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." So Jesus was of the royal line of David. He was a member of the tribe of Judah. So how could he be a priest? That was the tribe of Levi. It was through this order of Melchizedek, it says. So Hebrews 6:20 through 7:4 says, "Jesus has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of the God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him, and Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Just think how great he was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder." So that's a type of Jesus Christ, and how this guy kind of came out of nowhere, but he was a priest of the God Most High. And before Abraham would have children that would eventually lead to Aaron and the Levites, this guy blessed Abraham, and then he was given a tenth of the plunder that he got from saving Lot and his people. So it's so interesting. He's a king, he's a high priest, and he intercedes for us now. And interestingly, you know, Hebrews goes to a lot of trouble to say how he's a much greater high priest and how he gave his sacrifice once for all. And one man, one high priest, whereas the high priest in Judaism they kept dying and they kept appointing new ones, and Jesus is forever our high priest, mediating between God and man. So that's another aspect of it. One other thing I want to say is that, you know, it's interesting as we think about communion that in Genesis 14, it says, after Abram returned from defeating the kings, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram. Isn't it interesting that Melchizedek was a type of Christ, and he brought Abraham bread and wine? And so Jesus, of course, brought us the Lord's Supper to remember his body and blood. But one other thing I want to tell you, this week I was studying also Genesis 22, and it's so interesting. Abraham was given a test. He didn't know it was a test, but sacrifice your son Isaac and prove that he loved God more than anything. But isn't it interesting that Isaac, they come to Mount Moriah. God tells them to go there. What's Mount Moriah? That's the same place where Solomon would build the temple. And then Jesus, that's in Jerusalem. Later Jesus would offer his sacrifice there of himself. So God wanted it to be seen as a place of sacrifice from the beginning. But interestingly, Isaac carried the wood on which the sacrifice would be placed. And he was supposed to be the sacrifice. And now Jesus carried the wood on which the sacrifice would be placed, which was himself. So it's so interesting, just so interesting. I just wanted to share that with you because, you know, the atonement is so simple at its most basic to tell your children about, but it's so deep too. You could spend your whole life studying it and just see how great a God we serve, just how magnificent it is, and we get to participate in this. So let's go ahead and pray and bless these emblems. Lord God, we thank you so much for your greatness, how your word just reveals to us an incredible story of how you loved us, and yet we rebelled against you, and you reached out to save us, and you showed us that their blood must be shed, that it's a very serious thing that we have rebelled. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus and the atonement and what he did on the cross, his finished work. And, Lord, now we want to remember his body and his blood, which means everything to us, in the name of Jesus. So now let's take the bread together as brothers and sisters. And the cup.